Radio City Talk.
The A to Z of Merseyside football.
Let's do it. A to Z of Merseyside football time. Let's go through the record, the history books, and pick out, I think, some more H's with John Keith. Hello, John.
Hello, Steve. Well, today we've got a very important figure in the history of Merseyside football. In fact, the will and determination of this man was instrumental in Merseyside football becoming the consummate passion it is today and has been since the century before last. The man in question is John Holding, Liverpool City Councillor, Lord Mayor, the first president of Everton FC and the founder and first president of Liverpool FC, so he can fairly be called the godfather of Merseyside football. But for him and the circumstances flowing from his decisions, it's highly doubtful we would have had the compelling rivalry of Everton and Liverpool, which has engrossed generations on Merseyside, splitting families and dividing friends in their allegiance to blue or red. And it all began with a fundamental row over rent. Holding was born in Liverpool in 1833, but certainly not with a silver spoon in his mouth. His story was one of rags to riches. The family lived at Tenterden Street, Kirkdale, and his father, Thomas, was listed as a cow keeper, but it was a job that earned him enough to allow John to be educated at Liverpool College. John progressed from being an errand boy in a custom house and cowkeeper's assistant to a brewery foreman to owning his own brewery, namely Holding's Sparkling Ales. He was a self-made businessman who also became owner of several pubs, including the famous Sandon Hotel, still standing proud in the shadow of the current Anfield Stadium. He was a member of the Orange Lodge, founder of a Freemasonry Lodge, and active in local politics, leading to him becoming chairman of Everton Conservative Association. In 1884, he was elected to the City Council representing the Everton and Kirkdale ward, becoming an alderman, then Lord Mayor, in 1897. But his connection with football began long before that, and by 1882, he was president of Everton FC, formerly St Domingo, who'd played their inaugural game in the southeast corner of Stanley Park on January 1, 1878. In 1882, a ruling forced Everton to play their games at an enclosed ground and so leave Stanley Park. A meeting at the Sandon led to the club renting a pitch off Priory Road, but landowner one William Cruett terminated the agreement in 1884 because he objected to the noise from the growing number of spectators attending the games. You couldn't make this up, could you? But Holding sprang into action, agreeing to rent a new pitch at Anfield Road from his fellow brewer, John Orrell, then leasing it on to Everton. Their first game there being a 5-0 win over Earlstown on September the 27th, 1884. A year later, Holding bought the ground off Orrell. Stands were erected, attendances shot from 800 to 8,000, and in 1888, Everton, already competing in the FA Cup as members of the Lancashire FA, became founder members of the Football League and won the championship in their third season, 1890-91. Their star centre-forward, Fred Geary, scoring 20 goals in their 22 games. But storm clouds were gathering as Holding increased the annual rent from £100 to £250 and sought permission to buy more of Orrell's land to build an access road to the ground. Also, the players were forced to use Holding's Sandon Hotel for changing before and after games, which also irked the club's 279 members. The Liverpool Review of Saturday, March 19, 1892, reported and reflected in dramatically colourful terms on what proved a fateful meeting at the Sandon 4 days earlier. Quote, "The city may be on the eve of a dire calamity," it warned ominously. "It is a football crisis, or, in other words, King Holding of Everton has been kicked. Not kicked physically, but kicked out of the presidency and from the committee of Everton FC. Circumstances have been leading up to this for a long time, and on Tuesday night, the kicking process came off amid a great deal of enthusiasm. In 1884, King Holding advanced the then-struggling Everton FC funds at a small rate of interest, and as a landlord, he lent the club the Anfield ground at a moderate rental. He advanced money to erect grandstands and provide all the rest for a first-class football team. Things went swimmingly. Everton made a name for themselves. Then came a change. As the club prospered, the ground rental was increased and the interest went up perceptibly. There were mumblings and grumblings, and finally the storm burst. King Holding insisted he was in the right. The great majority of members insisted he was in the wrong. The king began to assert his power. His subjects broke out in open rebellion. Very soon it became a war to the knife. On the one side was the king, the sinews of war, and a small and chosen band. On the other side was a big army of malcontents. Finally, the king has been kicked. Well, after all that...
It's like Game of Thrones, this.
It's quite amazing to read all this, Steve, from the archives. But it's never been clear just why Holding took such a firm financial stance, because in everyday parlance, he certainly wasn't without a bob or two. But Everton will remain hugely grateful for his unbending attitude, perhaps due simply to the instincts of a self-made businessman. And Holding was never a man without a plan. After giving the Everton club notice to quit, he registered his own Everton Football Club and Athletic Grounds Company Limited. But with the so-called malcontents heading for a new Goodison Park home on the other side of Stanley Park, bought incidentally for £8,090, and taking the Everton name with them, it was no surprise the FA refused to allow Holding to call his new club Everton. And so, on June 3, 1892, he officially changed its name, the registrar of the joint stock companies certifying that the Liverpool Football Club and Athletic Grounds Company Limited, still its name by the way, had come into existence under certificate number 35668C, which is now on display at Anfield's Museum and Visitor Centre. The new club immediately joined the Lancashire League, Holding providing a £500 loan, engaging former Everton board member William Barclay as his vice chairman, and the astute Irishman John McKenna, a close friend, as director and later secretary, manager and chairman, earning the nickname Honest John. McKenna recruited a batch of talented Scottish players, and the new club's first game was a friendly at Anfield against Midland League side Rotherham Town on Thursday, September the 1st, 1892. 2 days later, their first competitive match was an emphatic 8-0 home Lancashire League rout of Higher Walton, where nine of Liverpool's side were Scots, earning them the nickname Team of the Max.
Brilliant.
In 1893, they were elected to the Football League Second Division, winning immediate promotion to the top flight, which set up their first Mersey derby against Everton, which the home side, now prospering at the new Goodison home, won 3-0. Liverpool suffered instant relegation, but they went straight back up, and within 9 years of the split and the birth of Liverpool, they were champions of England, led to the pinnacle by secretary manager Tom Watson. Thus, one of sport's great rivalries in one of the world's great sports cities was born, and Holding's preeminent place in the history of Merseyside football was poignantly recognised at his funeral in March 1902, following his death at 68 from a respiratory disease in Chimay in the south of France. Flags at Anfield and Goodison were at half-mast. Players from both clubs carried his coffin at his funeral at St Simon and St Jude Church, and thousands lined the route of his cortege to Everton Cemetery in Fazakerley. Until 2018, the only physical link to Holding remaining was his former home at 73 Anfield Road. But now, a 7-foot-tall bronze monument with a bust of Holding, created by celebrated sculptor Tom Murphy, now stands on 96 Avenue outside Anfield. So the next time Liverpool fans and Everton supporters on Derby Days pass the monument, they should pause for a moment and ponder that, but for him, they might not be there in the first place.
Worthy of an episode of John Keith A to Z all on his own. John Holding, the man who started it all.
Yes, absolutely.
And now honoured in fantastic fashion.
Yeah, that's
Evertonians
great
can go and
this.
See that bust. Yeah. It looks brilliant.
And they've got now all they need now at Anfield, Steve, is a bust or a statue of Bob Paisley.
Maybe
that's
one
it.
Day,
that's
John.
A gross.
You'll get it. You'll get it one day.
It must happen.
A to Z of Merseyside football with John. Brilliant. If you want to catch John and some brilliant former players, brilliant former Liverpool players at the Floral Pavilion. There's still some tickets left for this, but it's to celebrate Bob Paisley, and it's the back end of January. So fantastic night planned there.
31st of January.
31st of January. Plenty more information on the Floral Pavilion website.
Radio City Talk. The A to Z of Merseyside football.